And welcome to the first edition of Everything Huron. I'm Sean Martin.
And I'm Rich Bragg. Everything Huron is a brand new podcast, your monthly look at all things Huron, including past, present, and future for our city and the surrounding region. And we just want to talk a little bit about why we're doing this and what it is. Both Sean and I love Huron, love what's going on here. And I think a lot of times there's just more great things going on than we have time to talk about. And so this will give us a new and different format to look at current events, to look at what's happening in the news, to look at what's coming up, and even take a look back at some of Huron's history that sometimes we don't know about. So, still a little bit of a experiment, a work in progress. It's brand new, and we'll obviously be looking for feedback on what everybody wants this to be and what you're excited about. But we just thought it would be a fun chance for us to have a casual conversation and bring up some fun things about Huron.
Yeah, and like you said, a lot of the news stories that you hear on Performance Radio or when we talk about some of the things going on, we're going to dig a little deeper into those stories, into those events, and just share that information with you. Well, where do we want to start this week?
Well, why don't we jump straight into the Huron headlines? This will be our first segment in our podcast, and this is basically just a quick rundown of some of the area's top stories. The first one that we want to talk about a little bit is some pretty good excitement coming out of the chamber and out of the city in just regards to where the city is at in sales tax numbers and how things are going. I think a lot of people know that there have been some new businesses that opened, that we've had some growth in town, and things are generally positive. But sometimes it's fun to put a number on that. And I did have a chance here just recently to sit down with Lori Shelton, the director of the Huron Visitor and Chamber, and she was able to take me through just how exciting a lot of the other communities out there are not seeing the same kind of success that Huron is. And so it was fun. We'll just go take a listen. And again, Huron, Lori had some great numbers to share for us about how things are going in Huron. Okay, today we have the chance to sit down with Lori Shelton, the executive director for the Huron Chamber and Visitors Bureau. And Lori, you just had an opportunity to go before the Glacial Lakes Prairie and Tourism group, and that's a 10 county group of local communities that includes a lot of smaller cities and also includes Aberdeen and Brookings and Watertown. And you said it was kind of fun because everybody made their reports and Huron was in a good place right now.
Yeah, they all jokingly started out saying that they were all steady because they didn't want to say that their numbers were actually maybe a little bit declining from year over year. And I was able to actually report that our numbers were up. You know, when we met, I reported that our sales tax was up 6% and our hotel, lodging, food and drink establishment tax, the BBB, the third penny, was up 17%. And our first and second penny sales tax up 4%. So when they're all steady, when we can say that we are at a positive because of the things that we've been able to host, I think really plays a big part of that this year.
And this year, we talked earlier about, you know, the state fair and how successful this year's fair was and the continual growth that the fair has had year over year. So certainly that helped. What were some of the other things that you think really impacted Huron showing a pretty considerable growth, not just a small percentage, but a pretty considerable growth over the whole year compared to so many of our other surrounding communities holding flat or maybe even some of them dipping a little bit?
You know, hosting the National Junior High Finals Rodeo, I think, played a great part in our success of our numbers. And while there was so many people in town and congregating on the state fairgrounds and camping there, you didn't necessarily think you felt like there was that big of an increase. But when we look from July of this year to July of last year being up 31%,
wow,
you know, that's a big increase in our sales tax, you know, which makes an impact on our whole community.
So during that the month that the National Junior High Rodeos was in town, year over year from 2017 to 2018, the overall sales tax collection was up 31%.
Yes.
Wow, that is a huge number and really plays a large part. And it's fun to see, as you presented, the total annual numbers. It wasn't like we were just up that month. That month was up great, but the whole year we've shown a continual trend to be up.
When we look at our numbers month over month, they are increasing, you know, every month as far as those, the sales tax that have been collected year over year. And when you look at that, 17, you know, was a decent year. It was down a little bit from 16 because 16 we had the pipeline people in here. But so we are still well ahead of the game of where we were when the pipeline was here and they were here for that longer period of time.
And that is true. Sometimes when people hear a year over year number, they think, okay, is this just one year that's up because last year was bad? But that's not really the case. Looking at some of the larger overall indicators, you had said there's some other big numbers. You went back to 2012 and 2015 and found some other fun numbers.
Right. So when I look back to 2012, our year-to-date totals, comparing them to 2012, is up 22%. Our sales tax numbers were up 22%, which is, to me, huge amount when Yes. you think about that. And then I also was looking at numbers comparing how much we'd collected in revenues for lodging and eating establishments and drinking establishments. Since 2015, we're up 25%. From the taxes that they associate with eating establishments. And I think that's a pretty fun number, and that's just since 2015.
Right, and 25% is a significant increase, and that really doesn't even necessarily take into account some of the new restaurants that just opened. But I think it's an indicator. A lot of people have said, you know, it's great that we have a lot of new restaurants open. There's a lot of exciting new opportunities in town. Some people worried, well, does that mean other places will have to go out? And I think that's a great number to know that since just 2015, dining is up over 25% in the community. That means there's opportunity for these new restaurants.
There is opportunity. And one thing that we forget is we've got a lot of smaller communities outside of us. Well, they have a choice. If you're in Woonsocket, for instance, do you go to Mitchell? Do you come to Huron? If you're in Redfield, do you go to Aberdeen or do you come to Huron? Well, if you want to be, you know, look at that. If we can draw, and maybe those are bigger communities too, by number, that if they can come into Huron and eat and we can offer them more of a choice, that's keeping that money here. And then hopefully when they're here, if they're eating, they're going someplace else and helping to spend money in other areas at other retail stores in our community as they come in. And maybe that's why we can attribute some of this to our increases.
Right. And I think you're right. That definitely, looking at all the numbers overall, that does seem to be what's happening. More and more people are choosing to come to Huron or stay in Huron rather than go away. And, you know, obviously, whenever you talk about the local economy and shop local, there's always more we can do. We'd love to have people do even more. But it is exciting to know that right now we're trending in the right direction. I think sometimes it's easy to forget. You hear, oh, well, you know, so-and-so got this new, why didn't we get one? Or, oh, but the reality is things in Huron are really going the right direction. And as other businesses look at the potential of coming to Huron, it's good to know that we have these really, really positive numbers to show them.
Yes. You know, and that's what they're going to look at, is those positive numbers. And if we can keep, you know, bringing in the big events and getting, you know, the retail that people want, all of that is going to feed off of each other, I think. And tourism is the second largest industry in the state. So when we bring people in, that is a big thing to tout. South Dakota Tourism, we just had a meeting with them. And again, we were one of the communities that they showed to the whole conference that our numbers had been up, attributing it to, you know, our successful National Junior High Finals Rodeo. And those people went all over the state too. Mm-hmm. So they helped, you know, they helped the whole state in that spending aspect.
And, you know, the exciting thing too, just to continue building on that momentum, we already have the National Junior High Rodeo coming back next year, correct?
That is correct.
And we also then, we had a group a few years ago in town, the Red Power Roundup, which was the Case IH group, and they are coming back to town in a few years also, right?
Yep, 2020. So we'll have 3 years in the end of June while we will be hosting these big events, which, you know, is the type of thing that we want to see, is in the off seasons or at different times that we can bring this number of people in to help keep our economy growing.
Right. Well, that's exciting. Things are going well right now, and it's great to know that for the next couple of years, we have even more to be excited about. Lori, thanks so much for taking some time to share those numbers. Those are sometimes things that don't always make it out there. We don't hear about. And so it's great to know that there's so much positive going on in Huron right now.
Yeah, well, thanks for asking me to be part of it. I always love to look back at the numbers and see that growth. So I want to keep seeing the growth.
That's right. Well, we've got a good couple of years ahead of us.
Yep, we sure do. Thanks, Rich.
Thanks.
So, yeah, a lot of exciting numbers there. And like you said, numbers that maybe don't get shared as often as they should.
And especially nice when you think comparatively. You know, sometimes you say, oh, things are going great. The economy is up everywhere. But in this case, the group she was talking to was Aberdeen, Watertown, Brookings, a lot of big cities that we typically often look at and say, well, man, those guys must just be killing it. But the fact is, many of those communities are flat or even declining somewhat. And Huron, we heard some of those numbers being up 31% during the rodeo, being up 25% since 2015 in restaurants. So, yeah, just it's always fun to hear good numbers. We all love to hear that. But I think sometimes you lose perspective on just how well things really are going right now in Huron, because we want things to happen overnight. You know, when things are going well, you want to say, oh, there's going to be 10 new businesses next year. The reality is it just doesn't work that way. But the way it does work is a little bit over time, it just keeps building one brick at a time. And these really, really significantly good sales tax numbers are indicators that things are going the right direction.
And as Lori indicated, too, I mean, businesses just don't randomly relocate to communities. They look at numbers like these, and it has to make sense.
Yeah, you're right. And right now, it's challenging out there. There's a lot of retail that's not expanding. There's a lot of you know, it's not a great time in the general retail economy. With, you know, competition from the internet and a lot of other factors, that there's a lot of the big retailers that we all look at and say, well, I wish they would come to Huron. They're just not going anywhere. And so the few things that are expanding right now, when we can show them the really positive numbers that we have over the last few years, it means if they are going to open anywhere, we have as good a chance as anybody.
Well, kind of continuing on that theme of positive numbers, let's talk a little bit about the South Dakota State Fair, because man, things just up across the board, anywhere you look.
Yeah, they've had some fun. And it's you know, I've only been in Huron for a little over 10 years. And when I first came to town, the state fair was not pretty. I had came from Minnesota. I came over to South Dakota, said, hey, great, the state fair is here. And quite frankly, I was shocked that, you know, at that time, it was a pretty dark time for the fair. Things were not going well. The legislature every year was looking at, are we even going to continue it? You know, it was a tough time. And so I've been fortunate to be here for a time when, man, they have really turned that thing around. It's amazing.
And it's a matter of year. I mean, what are we talking? Maybe 6-7 years?
Yeah. It's just been tremendous. The new buildings that have gone up there, the amount of attendance is great. I mean, the grounds have never looked better, the things they're bringing in. So, yeah, they had some tremendous numbers. And I know you got the chance to get kind of an insider look at some of the things the fair board is working on. But it's some pretty good numbers, right?
Right. Well, just to maybe focus on a few of these real quickly, attendance up 2.5% over last year, 217,231 people at this year's South Dakota State Fair. Gate revenue was up 3.6%. And, of course, they had a strong grandstand lineup, mm-hmm. and saw a 13% increase in grandstand ticket sales. Also, beer sales up in the grandstand, and they kind of link that to Toby Keith,
yeah.
Fairly or unfairly.
I saw a couple of pictures after that where they were cleaning up that standing room area afterwards, and there was one or two crushed beer cans out there after Toby's concert.
Yeah, and then Toby and his crew, they stopped at the Ground Round after the show, and I think left a pretty good tip over there.
Oh, wow. Well, that's great. Well, and, you know, you said it. It was a great lineup across the board for concerts. And every single night that I was out there, there were great crowds. People were into it. They all seemed like good, entertaining shows. And, again, the you know, everybody knows that when you have that place full, when there's people out there drinking and eating and having fun, it's good for the fair, and again, it's great for Huron.
Yeah, and like just a few of these numbers here, a grandstand ticket revenue up 56%, carnival revenue up 7%, and some other numbers too. Great participation in 4-H and FFA. 4-H youth in action increased by 24%, 14% increase in FFA exhibitors. And that was that led to a 32% increase in FFA entries overall.
And I hear a lot of people saying, oh, the fair may be going good, but boy, the 4-H and that was, you know, that stuff's not what it used to be. But these numbers would show, man, they are still, they're really up. 32% increase in FFA entries. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And then the number of campers also up 1.5%, 1,984 campers on the state fairgrounds.
Now that one I can believe. It feels like about 2,000 campers when you walk around out there.
Holy cow.
Everywhere.
Whoever is responsible for getting all of those campers on and off the fairgrounds.
I don't know. I'm not nearly good enough at backing up. I would not want to try and bring my camper out there. I'd be a little too embarrassed.
Now, they had a meeting of the State Fair Commission earlier in October, and a few of the things that they're looking at is maybe going to a bigger beer ticket.
Okay.
And that would prevent people from using beer tickets from previous years. And I got to think, too, if you're drinking beer, it's just going to be easier to hang on to a bigger beer ticket versus a smaller one.
I bet they hear, oh, I lost my ticket a lot of times out there.
So that's something they're looking at. And also possibly maybe extending the courtesy cart service to after the concerts, which I think would be a great idea.
Well, and that's been one of the things that's been so great. You know, the fair, like we said, has been really on the upswing for a long time, and especially since Peggy Besh took over out there, and her whole team, you know, Candy Briley has been a big part of that. There's so many people out there that are doing great things, and they do look every single year to find ways to improve. You know, it'd be easy to say, well, things are going great, numbers are up, let's just celebrate. And they don't look at it that way. As you said, they're constantly trying to find ways to make it better. And so, yeah, I think those are some great suggestions that they've got coming up.
And they were looking at possible themes for next year. They had a list of about 25. I just briefly got to look at the list.
All right.
So could not take a copy out of the room. So.
Right. You better. Did you have to sign a non-disclosure?
I did. Yes, I did.
We could tell you some of the possible names, but then Sean might disappear overnight.
So anyway, we'll be getting that information soon, I'm sure. Well, we want to talk a little bit, too, about the Huron Chamber Shop Local campaign, the latest iteration of this, because change it up every year.
Yeah.
Keep it interesting and fresh.
Well, and it just ties into everything. We've been talking about the positive numbers. We've been talking about Huron's growth and the sales tax numbers being up. And a big part of that is that we as people of Huron have to make the commitment to shop local. We have to say, if we want to have more businesses here, if we want those businesses to do well, we've got to patronize them. We've got to go out and do our shopping in town. And, you know, that's where this shop local campaign that the chamber is looking at for this year really helps that. It encourages you to want to go use those. And, you know, like we always know, it's one thing to say, I want to shop local to help my community. And that's great. We should all do that. But it's even easier when you could win a bunch of money or a bunch of prizes. That always makes it easier. And that's, once again, what the Chamber is looking at with their Shop Local campaign. I know John from the Chamber and Visitors Bureau had a chance to give us a little bit of an update of how this year's program is going to look.
Shop Huron campaign starts on November 23rd and goes through December 24th. And throughout the event, each participating business is going to have a red box that you're going to see at their business, and that's where you can use an entry form that the business will have to enter into the contest. And each business that's participating is going to have a weekly prize that they're going to give. They're going to draw a prize at that business out of that box. After they provide that weekly prize, 10 qualifying winners as well get drawn, and they get entered into the grand prize. So there are going to be 5 grand prizes that are going to be received from the Chamber and Visitors Bureau, and it's going to be Huron bucks. Throughout the promotion, you're also going to see flyers at each box, and these are going to show all of the other participating businesses. So even if you enter, get an entry once at another business, you can go to another business and buy something there and get an entry there as well. So we're really hoping that this will be a business-to-business referral and really help grow the buzz for the promotion so that we can really promote our Huron businesses, because there's a lot to shop here in town, and we look forward to seeing what everybody does and what people think of it. So we like to make it different each year to kind of create some buzz, and that way nobody has to, they don't expect the same thing every year. We want to be able to change it up and create a lot of excitement so that it's something new and it's always something fresh that people can experience.
And again, that was John Youngeman from the Huron Chamber and Visitors Bureau. And of course, as a business owner, you've participated in this for every year that they've been doing it.
That's right, we have. We'll continue again this year. It's exciting, like we were saying. It makes it more fun. You want to shop local, but hey, if you could be winning weekly gifts from all the businesses that are participating, if you could be entered into that grand prize drawing at the end of the year, you know, hopefully you're looking to do your shopping locally anyway, but this just makes it a little bigger incentive. And obviously, if you want more information about that, you can contact the Chamber, and also on HuronSD.com on the Huron website. Under the Chamber, there is some information about this year's Shop Huron and Win for 2018. But like John said, I think shortly you'll start to see those big red, I think they're going to wrap them like gift boxes from what I understand. And then when you make a purchase at that at one of those local participating businesses, you'll be able to enter your name in and win some stuff. So that's always a good thing.
And that'll begin on Black Friday, and that's coming up quick.
Yeah, boy, man, things are just flying. It seems like Halloween came and went in a big hurry, and we're already talking about Thanksgiving and Black Friday.
Well, we're going to move on now to the rumor mill, and these are maybe the stories you've heard, but you're not quite sure if they're true or not. So we're going to endeavor each episode to either shed some light and expand on what you've heard or just totally squash it.
Yeah, so, I mean, people always say, oh, well, Huron is like this, or small town are like this. You know, I've lived a lot of different places. I can tell you every place is like this.
Yeah, it's the telephone game. Exactly. It's the telephone game.
It's fun. I heard something, and then by the time I tell five more people, it's a great story. So we are going to try each month when we do this segment to pick some things out that we've heard around town that you know, may be true, may not be true, and like you said, John, hopefully we can clear it up, either say yep, that's happening, or no, don't know where that came from. So the first one that we're going to deal with in this month's rumor mill is in regards to the Campbell House, or the big pink house across from Campbell Park, and that had been for sale for a long time. Recently the for sale sign came down, and there was new owners, and I had heard everything from it was going to be moved up to Lake Byron, or it was going to be torn down, or it was going to be turned into a hotel. And so we had a chance to talk to the new owners, who are Vaughn and Nina Kessler, and I had a little bit of time with them the other day. They were able to shed some light on exactly what their plans are for the Campbell House.
We have the chance to talk with Vaughn and Nina Kessler, who are new to the Huron community, and they have some answers to some questions that a lot of people in town have been asking, which is the big fancy house there across from the park, and it used to be a hospital, and everybody's been wondering what's going to happen with that house, and now we know. You guys purchased that, correct?
Yes, we did. We're excited.
And so You guys are new to town, right?
Absolutely, and, yeah. New to the state. I've never even been to South Dakota before.
Well, that's great. Well, we're sure glad to have you, and it's exciting that you. Now, did you ever see it before you put the offer in? I know Vaughn did, but Nina, you had not.
Well,
been
actually, Phelan did. He FaceTimed with me and walked me through the whole house,
okay.
So I got to see it that way, not
so you saw
physically,
it digitally, but, huh?
Yeah, digitally, like I see my grandkids.
Exactly. Yes.
Yes.
So, you know, there, it's just such a gorgeous house.
Beyond gorgeous.
There's so much beautiful woodwork, and you know, I think everybody in town was hoping that there would be somebody that would come forward that really appreciated that house for the historic value and how beautiful it is and its importance to town. So, you know, I think everybody's glad to know that you guys are excited about it, and you have plans to do some restoration and bring it back to its glory, right?
Exactly. That's exactly what we want to do. First off, we feel really blessed that we could purchase this house, and it is just so beautiful. Being an artist, and Vaughn is very creative too, and we're excited. I mean, it's a little daunting and a little overwhelming, but we're going to take it one room at a time, and we're going to restore it. I want to join the Historical Society, and I am a daughter of the American Revolution, and I love history, and just, I can't wait, just one room at a time. Right now we're like, woo! But we're going to do it, and it's just, it's beautiful. It's how everything about it, the doors, the woodwork, the doorknobs, the sinks and just everything about it is gorgeous. Yeah,
that house, it really is a treasure for this town. And you're right, you know, anytime you deal with something that's older and you're talking about some restoration and updating, it is a little daunting, but, you know, I think you guys have a great attitude with it that, you know, I mean, and the great news, it's not as if it was, you know, decrepit or you know, it has been well maintained up until now. But then I think you guys want to take the next step and really do some full-on restoration. And so that, for anybody that loves history and is excited about seeing something like that saved, it's sure great to have you guys here. Now, you know, you are moving to town and you're going to be living in the home. Long-term, do you have any other plans for it beyond just having it be a personal residence?
Vaughn keeps looking at me because I've talked too much. Yes, we are thinking about making it a bed and breakfast because we don't need five bedrooms for Vaughn and myself. And it's so beautiful that we want to share it. And once we take,
I'm just thinking it depends on how much trouble I get into.
Going to need at least one spare bedroom.
That's true. He'll be in the downstairs, the basement. But, it's beautiful.
Well, along the way, I mean, so many people have said that would be a great fit because it has multiple bedrooms, multiple bathrooms. Again, as we talked about, the woodwork and everything is so gorgeous, it would be a perfect fit as a bed and breakfast because it's the type of place that just getting the chance to tour through and see it is a treat in and of itself besides having a roof over your head. So,
well, we plan in a year from now, not this Christmas, but next Christmas, that we are going to open it up and let, you know, some people come in and look at it, you know, and just because we're excited about it and we know it's the Campbell House and we are going to honor that memory and the treasure in a town just for what it's worth.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you'll have so much, so many people have probably already have come forward with old pictures and information and, you know, a property like that that's had played such a pivotal role in this community. There are so many people I've heard, I don't know how many people say, oh, well, my grandmother was born in that house when it was a hospital, or, you know, it's a very important piece of history for the town. And so I'm sure you'll have no shortage of people giving you fun stories and information about it. It's really iconic being right on the main drag there. Everybody that visits Huron goes past that, and it's hard to not take note of a big, beautiful house like that. And so I appreciate you guys taking the time to talk through with us. It's just fun. People, sometimes the rumors get swirling and people don't know what's going on, so it's nice to go straight to the horse's mouth.
Set the record straight, right?
but you know, so it's just great to know that there's somebody that cares about that house, that appreciates the history of it and is going to be a part of restoring it and making it continue to be a part of the importance for Huron.
And we want to be a part of Huron, too, this community. It's just real nice. So we're excited.
We're very glad to have you guys here. And we appreciate you taking the time to talk with us.
Thank you.
Vaughn and Nina, appreciate it. Thanks again.
Okay.
So there you go. We got to the bottom of that one. And it's nice to hear that house is going to be used in that way. You've been in there before.
I have. It is gorgeous. And especially with the plans, I mean, they were talking about stripping all the paint off the woodwork and restoring everything, pulling up all the carpets and redoing all the hardwood floors. They have some real plans, and it's going to be a big project for them, no doubt about it. But they've already done some landscaping and torn some things out, and it's a gorgeous house, and I think they have the right attitude about it.
Okay, so we move on now to Skyways in the rumor mill.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, a lot of people know, the news has been out there that the airport and the management for the charter operations and all that has been purchased by a new company, and so that's exciting. The one little piece that we wanted to highlight for the rumor mill is when the new owners were in town, one of the television stations did an interview and ended up with a report that the airport was immediately going to bring 1,500 new jobs to Huron. And although the new airport is terribly exciting, I mean, they've been out there doing remodeling, tearing things out, updating. They have big plans. Initially, right off the bat, it's probably not going to be 1,500 jobs. I think what I heard there was that the new owner does have a pretty strong New Jersey accent, and somebody had said maybe he said I don't remember how that went, 150 jobs or 15 to 100 jobs, and that turned into 1,500 or something like that.
I had a chance to talk to him, definitely not from around these parts.
Right, yes, he is. He definitely doesn't have a Midwestern accent, and that's, yes, that's what it was. I think somebody said he was saying 50 to 100 new jobs immediately, and that turned into 1,500. So.
This is one that I wish we didn't have to squash.
I know. I wish we could confirm that, in fact, 1,500 jobs were coming. But, again, just confirming that one little number was blown up a little bit doesn't take away from the fact that this is going to be great. I mean, Danny and his team that have had Skyways for years have done a great job. And you know, the Huron Airport is really a treasure, and it's great that we have a big runway and all that space. But these new owners, I mean, it's a whole new operation. They own multiple charter airplanes. I think now they're up to, they just purchased maybe their fifth big fancy charter airplane that run all over the country. And they are going to be bringing maintenance here. They're going to be doing more to have more planes stop over here for fuel and maintenance. And so, you know, we're actually going to probably talk next month a little bit more, because they're also going to be rebranding and coming up with a new name. So we're hopefully going to reach out to them and get more detail. But again, we just wanted to clear up for the rumor mill portion. The airport, although there's tons of excitement, there's going to be new buildings, expansion, remodeling. There will be a lot of new jobs, just not 1,500 new jobs.
All right, we've got one more for the rumor mill, and this involves some commercial properties that you've seen on Lincoln Avenue. Now, I believe all but one of those locations is filled currently, and there's been some speculation about what's going on into that last location.
Right. Anytime you have new construction like that, everybody starts to say, well, what's going in there? Could this be that? Could that? And so we reached out. Lori Ratchin is the person that built that. There's both storage units and a commercial area. And so, again, she was kind enough the other day to sit down with me and give me the skinny on exactly what they do have for tenants in there, what their future plans are, and a little bit of detail about that property.
Today we get the chance to talk with Lori Ratchin, and a lot of folks have seen the new commercial properties that went up along Lincoln, and we've had a lot of questions about what's going on there. So Lori's the one that can answer those questions. Hi, Lori.
Hi. Thanks for, you know, coming and talking to us.
You bet. Well, this is our rumor mill section, so lots of people have questions. So what are all the properties there? What all is going on?
Well, the first thing that we did was last year we did storage units, and we did a big shop up over there. And how we decided to kind of differentiate ourselves from the rest of the other storage units in town is we added power chars. So a lot of our, we do have some basic storage units, but a lot of them have power. A lot of them are oversized two-stall garages, 20 by 25. They all come with power and different options for that. And then we also have just even a 10 by 25 for the boats and different handymen that just kind of want to have an outlet in their storage unit. So that's kind of how we decided to differentiate ourselves that way.
So you do have some of those obviously available, since the one section you just finished this year. So you do have some spaces available there, right?
Yep. I just finished a building here the last couple weeks. So I have a few spaces left in there. So they could definitely give us a call and we can get them in something yet this year.
Okay. And then obviously in addition to the storage sheds, you have the commercial, I guess you'd call it a strip mall or
yeah,
commercial building.
Yeah, it's kind of a business center, whatever you want to call it. We're right now, we have in the farthest north end is the tallest part of the building that everybody kind of wonders what's in there. That's for the cheer team. The Mitchell Extreme cheer team has expanded into Huron, and they offer everything from dance classes to competitive cheer, rec cheer, tumbling classes, all kinds of things for the kids, you know, from ages 3 to 18. I think they even have like a Nerf night. If you're not really athletic, you just want to come out and have fun and play with the kids. So good group of people, keeping the kids busy.
Yeah, and that is fun with the high ceilings that they're able to do everything they want. And I know they've got mats down on the floor and everything. So it really was a nice addition to town to have a nice, big, open space that they could do everything that they needed to do. And like you said, Extreme Cheer has been in Mitchell for a long time, and it is nice to have an expansion like that in Huron.
Yeah, I think they're having really good luck and lots of turnout, so kids are enjoying it.
Good. And then what else do you have? Is it a total of four commercial spaces then in your center?
Yep, there's a total of four spaces. So there's the cheer, and then the next one as we go south would be Independent Health Solutions, and they are basically any kind of home care that you would need, from a 1-hour visit to taking your family to the doctor to 24/7. So anything and everything that you could possibly need with when it comes to taking care of your loved ones. So.
Okay, and then next after that would be the space we're sitting in right now while we do this interview. That's the Vape Escape, and then also there's a casino here as well. And this is really, really great space. It's my first time in here. I'm really impressed with, obviously new construction, so everything is gorgeous. But really, the finishes and the space all turned out very nice.
Thank you. Yeah, we seem to be hitting it off well in here. On the Vape Escape has been popular. A lot of people are trying to quit smoking and relying on Jonathan and Travis to give them some advice on which direction to go. So it's nice having that expertise too for a lot of the new people starting and help them get away from that cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the casino. It's called Cash Out Casino. Our goal, of course, is to cash out those tickets and help enjoy, your evening entertainment. By doing that, we offer a dollar beer while you play for all of our players. And you can also sit at the bar, though, watch TV, watch the game. Those are $2 beers, while your spouse plays the machines or whatnot.
And it is, like you said, I could see the bar is a great setup just to come down and have a beer or a soda or something, and there's TVs in here, and it's a nice atmosphere. And again, you've got plenty of the casino machines, and again, it's nice and bright and clean. And you mentioned earlier the Vape Escape. There's a very pleasant odor. I mean, everything about the place is just very, it's a nice place to hang out. So I can see why you've had good success so far.
Thank you. Then another thing the players are enjoying is our loyalty card. Basically, they come, they play five. Every time they come, they get a signature. We sign off on it. And after they've been here five times, on their sixth visit, they get $5 in casino bucks. So we put $5 in any machine that they want to play, and they get to play for free.
Great. And then, so that's three of the four spaces. So you do have a fourth space in it, but that will be available for rent.
Correct. To clear up the rumors, we are definitely not having a Pizza Hut come in that I know of. We would love to have it. It sounds like the community is super excited about having another pizza place, but as of right now, no one's called. So we're definitely open to other entrepreneurs ready to open their business.
So we know what three of the four are, but as far as that fourth space, for now, it's still available. So
yep.
It could be pizza, it could be something else, but as of now, it's just available and ready to go.
Well, and actually, it's actually still a dirt floor.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be custom designed to any business. If you have a restaurant or retail or whatever your business goals are, I guess it can be customized to your needs still. So
great. Well, yeah, if it turns out as nice as the other three that you have finished, I'm sure it would be a space that would work great for anybody, because the whole building really, really looks good.
Thank you. Yep, we're very proud of it.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to clear up some of the rumors and give us some good information and tell us a little bit about. So we appreciate you taking the time, and we certainly appreciate your investment in Huron as well.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Okay, so there we go. Not going to be a pizza place. Well, at least not at this time.
It could be. It could be. Another one of those that technically, I suppose you could say, we are squashing the rumor, but it's still a potential. There's a gorgeous space just ready and waiting. If you've been thinking about opening up a pizza place, give Lori a call, I guess. She's ready for you.
And so we'd have to retract this whole thing then,
wouldn't
we?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Hopefully
we'd have to walk it back.
Next month we'll be back here announcing the exciting new pizza place coming to Huron, hopefully.
And you had a chance to actually take a look at all of the all of those commercial properties, right?
Yeah, it is. It's fun that, that just went up, and to know that already three of the four are filled, that's a great sign. And it's always nice to have new construction in town and to have new things going on. And so, it was a very well done place. I think it'll be a great addition to Huron.
Well, we want to move on now to Huron Happenings, Huron Area Community Theater. They're going to have a murder mystery dinner theater, and that's going to be coming up on the 16th. Miserable Mondays, Memos, and Murder. I don't know a lot about this. Is this one of those interactive plays? Or?
I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be largely improvisational, and it sounds like a pretty fun night. I talked through it with them a little bit, and it's going to be pretty low-key, casual, and just a chance to go out and have a fun night and get a good meal. So it's something I know that the community theater group has been talking about for a long time, and now finally bringing that to fruition, and it's something that I think will be just a super fun event. Also, of course, coming up, we've got the Parade of Lights. That's always a big deal, and that will be on Friday after Thanksgiving, November 23rd at 7 p.m., and that parade route, once again, will run from downtown down to 21st Street. So something everybody, it's kind of a Huron tradition. People look forward to that one.
And then the James Valley Christian School 59th Annual Auction. And this is a big deal. They've always got a ton of great stuff. That's going to be Saturday, November 24th and Monday, November 26th, my birthday, at James Valley Christian School.
All right. So if you're looking for a gift for Sean, go out to James Valley Christian School, bid on a bunch of stuff, and then when you win it, just give it right over to Sean.
Yeah, I've got a wish list. I'll get that to you.
Oh, there you go. Even better. So you're not only helping Sean out, you're helping out a good cause, raising money as well. Coming back again this year is the Hegg Brothers Holiday Jam. That will be Sunday, December 9th at 4 p.m., and that will be at the Huron High School, and that's a fundraiser for the HYLC, Huron Youth Leadership Council. And have you been to the Hegg Brothers before?
I have not had a chance. Is this their second or third year?
I think this is the third year, and yeah, you definitely need to go. It's an amazing show. I used to love the Hegg Brothers used to have a different band called Spoon Cat, which was kind of a funk band, I think, that years and years back I used to check out. And this Holiday Jam it's just a great production. They know a bunch of musicians from around the area, and every year they pull in some of the best, most talented people and then tour around and do just a spectacular holiday show. So definitely something worth checking out.
Would it shock you to know somewhere I have a Spoon Cat CD?
Somewhere I have several Spoon Cat CDs. So maybe that should be our intro and outro music for the podcast. We'll find some old Spoon Cat.
I'm going to have to do some digging when I get home.
Each month, I want to just take a quick moment to look back at something historical, and we call this section Vintage Huron. Sometimes we'll get some interviews or bring some people in, but for this particular month, just because we talked earlier about how well the State Fair is doing and how far it has come recently, just wanted to go back just a few little historical nuggets that I thought would be fun. Obviously, the South Dakota State Fair in and of itself didn't start as the South Dakota State Fair. It started as a territorial fair because, of course, there was no South Dakota yet. Then 1885 was when the idea of a Dakota territorial fair started, and the territory capital was in Bismarck at the time, so that's where it started out. But initially, the site of the fair was not designated, so there was kind of some competition. A lot of the big towns, Sioux Falls, Pierre, Huron, each put in bids for grounds and racetrack that could host it. And the city of Huron first held the fair September 29th to October 2nd, 1885, and then held it again in 1886. And then it actually bounced around for quite a while. It was in Huron, Mitchell, Aberdeen, Sioux Falls, back to Aberdeen, Sioux Falls, Yankton. But then finally in 1905, moved its way back to Huron, and that's where it's been a permanent home ever since. So a lot of people know the land there, of course, is right by the railroad track. That land initially was deeded, 85 acres from the Chicago Northwestern Railroad Company was given to the fair with the condition that it be used as a fairground. So if the state fair was not there anymore, my understanding is that that land would actually revert back to the railroad, or at least at one point that was the plan. But obviously, with as well as the fair is doing, we don't have anything to worry about for that. So that's just kind of fun to think about that. And one of the things that I thought was interesting, of course, they just celebrated this year the 100th anniversary of the current grandstand. But other interesting things that I thought out there, of course, just a few years with the new Nordby Exhibit Hall that went up, they tore down the old, was that Younger Hall? Is that the one?
Yes.
That they, and that building was torn down was from 1918, so that had been quite a while. And another one that I thought was kind of interesting, that building where the Dakota Land Museum is now, and we always like to walk through that when we go out onto the fair, that actually was originally a dairy building. So that one dates back to 1913. So that year, a new machinery hall and a new dairy building were constructed. And so that dairy building started in 1913, went on to be a 4-H headquarters and host 4-H exhibits for a time. and now it's out there. So it's kind of fun to think when you're walking around on the fair, there is a lot of history there. Some of the buildings you can walk through are as old as 1913.
Wow. And like you said, the numbers are good, so I don't think we ever have to worry about it going back to Bismarck.
Yeah, I think we're pretty safe. If they host the South Dakota State Fair in Bismarck, we're going to have a lot of explaining to do.
I'm going to have to dig into this a little more, but I had heard at one point, maybe for several years, there was actually a zoo on the fairgrounds. They had a little zoo.
Okay, I could believe, I mean, you know, over the years, there have been so many different things. And so that's where, like I said, with this segment, this vintage here on, I would love to have some folks that know a lot more than us come on. And you know, so if you have anything out there that's historical about Huron, if you know an expert, please, again, everythinghuron@gmail.com is our email. Shoot us an email. Let us know, because this is Huron's been around a long time. It's a great city with a lot of great things in its history, and we would love to use this segment to highlight it. So this month, just wanted to talk a little bit about the State Fair and the history. Another segment that we want to do each month with the Everything Huron podcast is to take a look and do a community spotlight. So this would be our chance to look into somebody doing either a charitable event or something in the community that we need to highlight, because we want to support those community activities whenever we can. And this month we want to talk about the Parade of Lights. We mentioned it earlier in our upcoming events, but that is a great deal, and it's something that people look forward to. It's a lot of fun, and I know that you had a chance to talk to Kevin Fritchie, who is the current organizer.
And I believe Kevin said he's been the director for about 5 years now. He works with a committee, and basically Kevin wanted to see the Parade of Lights get even bigger. And of course, when you put yourself out there and you say, hey, I think we can do a few things to make this this parade even better, you usually find yourself enlisted. And that's what happened with Kevin. So anyway, Kevin says that his goal every year is to have 40 floats, and he hasn't quite gotten there yet.
Yeah, he's done a great job. And, you know, it is. It goes back. The original Parade of Lights is now in its 26th year. The first parade was November 25th, 1993. And it's had its ups and downs, certainly. There have been some years that it's been stronger. And like you said, with the work that the Chamber and Kevin and his team have done the last few years, the number of floats have been up. And I think the quality of the floats has been up. A lot of people have mentioned it's a more enjoyable parade. And, of course, it's a great time to host it. I think there's been a lot of talk about should there be a different date. And it just, that Friday after Thanksgiving, you've got a lot of family in town. It's a great time. You're starting to think about Christmas. And so it's just a great way to kick off the holiday season, all those warm, fuzzy feelings. Although I think a lot of people about by Halloween start thinking about Christmas. But traditionally, for a lot of people, once you get past Thanksgiving, that's when you really start to think about Christmas. And that's where the Parade of Lights has been so fun.
Now, the theme this year is South Dakota Country Christmas, and Kevin says they like to get that theme out there to give people plenty of time to think about putting a float together, to contact them, get the float entered. But he says they will have floats show up even the night of the parade.
So that just show up?
Just show up and say, hey, we were in the neighborhood. We got a float. We'd like to be a part of the parade.
Well,
so it would be really cool if we could get to 40 this year.
So you're saying, like, we could just go down there, pull a little wagon and get some glow sticks, and we could be in the parade?
You know, I hate to put that out there like that, but
no, obviously even the ones that show up last minute, I mean, as we said, the last few years especially, the quality, the amount of time and effort and work that goes into those, it's great. And so for to just be able to camp out along the street or in one of the businesses along the route that will host you and watch these parade floats go by, it's a great event and something that folks look forward to every year. And so again, that's coming up Friday, November 23rd at 7 p.m. So we're excited to support the Huron community and especially all the work that goes into an event like Parade of Lights.
And the Griswold Award's a part of this too.
Yes,
and basically recognizing someone who has really gone full Chevy Chase on decorating their home for the holidays.
And even the Christmas lanes, you know, that's another thing that when I came to Huron, I had never heard of an idea like that before. And it's great, really encouraging thematic decoration throughout it. So obviously, as we get into that time of season, not only are we watching the Parade of Lights, but we're driving around town, and I think through the chamber you can get a map that will show you where the Christmas lanes are and where a lot of the decorations are. So yeah, it's just again, we're at that time of year now where we can kind of start thinking about the holidays and think about Christmas and get in that spirit. And so the Christmas lanes and the Griswold Award and the Parade of Lights help to do that.
And they always need volunteers, you know, to help with traffic, keep everybody safe.
Right. That is a great way to just grab a street corner. You have a perfect view. You're right up nice and close. And also you can help out to block some of those streets. So if you would like to be a part of that, either enter a float or be a volunteer to help the night of, you can reach out to the Huron Chamber and they will direct you to the right place to help out.
Well, we are at the portion of the podcast where we will be answering your emails, responding to your feedback. But since this is the first episode, we don't really have anything to respond to.
Fortunately, just as we've been recording for the last few minutes, nobody has wandered in and told us that we stink. So no feedback yet. But yes, again, that email address is everythinghereon@gmail.com. You can also search for Everything Hereon on Facebook and comment there as well. But we're just, like we talked about, whether it's for the rumor mill, whether we said something stupid and you just want to tell us about it, if you, you know, we talked about the history, if you have some great history to share that you think we would want to do, as we said at the very top of the show, this is a casual idea. We'd really just want to highlight things that are going on in Huron. So we had some ideas of our own, but obviously if you've got some ideas that you think would be of interest for the Huron community, please send us that feedback at everythinghereon@gmail.com.
Well, as we kind of wrap things up, this was a lot of fun, and we had plenty to talk about.
Yeah, that was a really good time, you know, and we'll kind of try and keep this format, even the format and some of the segments and that kind of stuff, we're open to the idea of changing that up. So again, let us know if you have different ideas, but hopefully this kind of provides the template. We want to look at, again, the past, the present, and the future, and highlight what is going on in and around Huron. You can download this as a podcast wherever your favorite podcasts are found. Also available if you search for Everything Huron on YouTube. And also you can go to performance-radio.com. The podcast will be available to download from there as well. And once again, as I said, the email address is everythinghereon@gmail.com, or you can search on Facebook for Everything Huron. And let us know what you'd like us to do more of, what you'd like us to quit doing.
Well, I guess that kind of wraps it up. So again, thank you for listening. We want your feedback. We want your ideas. So make sure you reach out to us and again, email us and let us know what you would like to hear on future episodes, what we could do different, because this is your podcast too.
Right, and if you like the show, obviously you download it and listen to it, and also if you can subscribe and follow along, then when the new episodes come out, you can just hear the latest and greatest. So, Sean, thank you, and thanks to everybody out there for listening, and we'll be back again next month.